Come on, a little bit more for Jesus today. He deserves it. He's why we're here or watching. Amen. You may be seated today. Thank you so much for being here. Wasn't that great worship today? How many enjoyed the worship? I feel the presence of the Lord today. Great to have you with us, both in person and online. Summer and I are honored to be a part of this great church, and it's our joy to serve you and to serve the Lord most of all. And if you're new to City, we ask you to please make 3 visits because we think it takes some time to get to know us, and we would love to partner with you and get to know you as we love, as we build, and as we lead. And, you know, we're in the second week of our series entitled Lamps and Light Bulbs, because we believe at City that receiving Jesus is the greatest thing. It's the greatest miracle. It's the greatest step any of us could ever have happen to us. And then after we receive Jesus, I believe we are to do something with it proactively, not defensively, not preaching what we're against, but preaching what we're for and doing something with our faith. And that is to be a lamp and a light bulb. Everyone say a lamp and a light bulb. And so I just want to just share this message with you. As I spoke last weekend, if you missed it, you know, maybe go to the app or the website and check it out. Because I believe this is just, you know, God put this in my heart probably about 14 years ago when I was bivocational. I was working on the north side of Indy. I had my first son. I was trying to support them and lead the church the best I could with our team and at that time. And in those routes I was on, in the business I was doing, God would just deal with me. And I had an encounter with God that just really imprinted my heart. He put this whole thing in my life at that time, and it changed, I believe, the whole thought of Jesus and church and how we do church. And so this is big to me, and I pray that as I speak it today, that it will become big to you. Can someone say amen? So I want to preach a message entitled Amazing Grace. How many are glad for Amazing Grace today? I'm not going to sing like I did last week. It didn't sound too good. Anyway, Amazing Grace and Amazing Purpose. So, Father, I thank you so much for this great worship experience and all those watching online, all those here in person, and all of those in City Kids. I thank you, Lord, for keeping us safe in this room and as we go about our week. And I pray that all of us right now would make a decision to lay down any resistance we may have. We would set aside our distractions. We would lean in and receive something new. I thank you today that all of us would take one step forward in our faith. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. If you have your Bibles or your phones, please turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. If not, just follow me on the screen. And Paul said this, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation, notice this, is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You know, I think all of us, no matter your church background or maybe if you haven't had a church background, probably one of the most famous songs in the history of the world as we know it, is Amazing Grace. You know, Amazing Grace was written by John Newton, who was a slave trader. Did you know this story? And he was convicted of his sin and the atrocities that he was doing or that he was participating in, taking people from Africa and bringing them over here to the New Americas at that time. And he wrote about his life story. And on one of those, you know, voyages, he was saved. And Jesus changed him. And he knelt down on the deck of the ship. And he wrote this. And I believe him. He didn't take time to rewrite it. He didn't try to sit down and you know, think of this amazing song. As he would write about this experience, he just simply, the words came out of his mouth. All the verses and the chorus in order. Then he penned it. And we have Amazing Grace from this man. And what a perfect man to write it, as he was participating in a horrible sin that has affected generations. And yet, when God's grace comes in our life, how many know he can change any of us and turn us around? How many believe that? I believe that. And so my first thought here is amazing grace. What is grace? Grace is favor given to you and I that we don't deserve. It's favor given to you and I that we don't deserve. So in other words, Jesus gives you and I favor, or God gives us favor to receive Jesus. We don't deserve this. We didn't earn this. We're not from the right family. We don't have enough, straight A's, because Lord knows I wouldn't have been here if that was the case. Don't say amen on that. Yeah. It's not about us. It's all about him. And notice in the first line, God saved you by his grace when you believed. This is so profound that God would send his son to die for you and me, and that you and I would be saved. We could be saved. Anyone in the world could receive Jesus and be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you say, Jesus, save me, the scripture says he saves you. Now, we have over 23 people getting water baptized in the next 2 weeks. Come on, isn't that awesome? Some today, many more next week. When you get water baptized, it's the seal. It's almost like, I'm going to use this analogy. What if, I'll say this way. This wedding ring doesn't make me married to Summer. I made a vow to her 15 years ago next month. And legally, we did all the paperwork. She is my wife, and I'm her husband. And through, the laws and the nature of what we do, we're married because of that. But this ring tells everybody that I'm married to her. The piece of paper that certifies legally that we're married is really what I would say in this earth, it fortifies that act. But this ring shows you I'm married and she's mine, summertime all the time. Thank you, Jesus. Water baptism is just showing us, or showing the public, that I belong to Jesus. And water baptism, according to Romans, is a spiritual experience that when you go down, you're buried in your old life and you come up in the glory of the Father to walk in a new way. Come on, somebody, for Jesus. So if you need water baptized, if you haven't gone public yet, if you haven't let everyone know you're taken, let people know and get water baptized today or next week, because there's power in it. But when you and I receive Jesus, it is not because of us. It is because of his grace. Now notice, this is a gift. We can't brag about it. It's about Jesus, 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 and more Jesus. We don't do good. Notice he said here that it is not a reward. Salvation is not earned by a reward system. We don't do good to be saved. We do good because we are saved. And when you and I receive Jesus by faith, okay? Now, if you don't know Jesus, receive him today. If you have received him and you are far from him, come back to him. Now, please, everyone just lean in, because some of you are saying, I've heard this 1,000 times. Well, this is 1,001. You're going to hear it today, because it's good for our soul. We need to, I believe, be reminded of this stuff. And so when you and I receive Jesus, it is by grace, okay? We don't earn this. But after we receive Jesus, we are to do something with Jesus. We are to not just be a Bible thumper. We're to not just be a Christian that sits down and becomes a choir critic, church critic, preacher critic, style of church critic, doctrine critic, and every other type of critic. We are to be the light, a lamp and a light bulb, so other people see Jesus. I heard one person say, I would rather be the chef than the food critic. I would rather be the film director than the film critic. I would rather be the athlete on the field versus the Monday morning quarterback on the sports shows criticizing the athlete. And I would rather be the light of the world for Jesus than be a stale person who's not doing anything but complaining about everything. Jesus, thank you for my mother-in-law clapping on the front row, but Jesus wants us to do something with our faith. And when you and I receive grace in Jesus and we're saved, you and I then, through the grace of God, remember, what is grace? Grace is not the license for us to be whatever we want to be and do whatever we want to do. Grace is favor given to us that we don't deserve. And when you and I receive grace in the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I can overcome the shame in our story. You and I can receive healing, spirit, soul, and body. You and I can discover a new life through the scars that inevitably all of us have, both in this room and online. And Jesus is the answer for you and for me. I'm going somewhere with this message, I promise. Amazing grace. The amazing grace of Jesus combats our temptation. Now, please hear this. The amazing grace of Jesus combats, I believe, the temptation of the pressure we feel to fix ourselves. Because how many know we can't fix ourselves? Willpower is amazing. Being disciplined is good and has its benefits, but it goes so far. And you know, having good thoughts and just kind of thinking good thoughts and all that is good. And the Bible tells us to meditate on the word and to think on good things. But without Jesus, it just goes so far. Having a good money plan is good for you and your family, but it just goes so far. Having good connections and having the right people in your life and getting the right job and having, you know, all this, yes, it has its place, I'm sure, but it only goes so far. You and I, every one of us, come to the end of ourselves, and that's why we need Jesus, and none of us can fix ourselves. The shame of our life, the scars of our life, the healing that all of us need just by being a human in this earth, those three things are at times insurmountable. And you and I need the grace of God to overcome them and move forward. That's why church should be a gathering of people that are not pompous, but it should be a gathering of people that are so humble and joyful because they know amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a messed up person like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I'm blind. I was blind, but now I see. And if I'm honest, I'm still in process. I'm not, you know, God's not through with me yet. I'm still getting worked on by the grace of God. I'm still getting better as a husband. I'm still getting better as a father, maybe as a roommate, as an employee. Come on, right? I'm still working on Purdue fans and Patriot fans. I'm still working on the grace of God in my life, but I'm moving closer to God. So church should be a hospital. I believe this because all of us are in need, no matter how spiritual or unspiritual, all of us, I believe, are in need of more of Jesus. And so when you and I come together or you watch online, you and I have to understand that all of us are in this thing called the church that Jesus, by the way, made up, not a preacher. Jesus made this up. And when you and I come together, something happens in us that's greater than what we feel happening to us. And the path that we've laid out here, next steps is, I believe, an important step for you. And groups are an important step for you to realize there's people just like you who have been saved by grace, who are in the same process you are. Amazing grace. Aren't you glad for grace today? But after you and I receive Jesus, what are we doing with him? You see, it's just not stopping at amazing grace. It goes from amazing grace to amazing purpose. I know I've already mentioned this, but God is, I believe, in heaven begging and waiting for you and I to find our purpose and to show his amazing grace to those around us. Jesus is not needing us to be in a corner, hunkered down, proverbially, us four and no more, throwing stones over the fences of politics or church denominations or people's struggles. He needs you and I to go into the dark to shine for him so that someone else can see the grace of God. And so when you and I understand I believe these three verses in context, he said that God saved you by grace when you believed. And we can't take credit for that. But then in verse 10, he says, for we are God's masterpiece. Say masterpiece, please. Notice, he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And I mentioned this last weekend, this huge task of Jesus telling you and I that we are the light of the world. We are to be like a city on a hill. It means we are to be bold. We are to be strong. We are to be obvious. We are to let people see the good things we do, because how in the world are we to be the light of the world when I am messed up in myself? And Jesus said, when you do good things, other people will see and glorify God in heaven. Notice Jesus gives us a massive task. Check this out. He gives us this huge task, but then he makes it real simple for us to, I believe, take one step toward fulfilling it, which is just start doing good. Now, again, I'm not saying do good to be saved. I'm saying do good because we are saved. And he says here, and I want to break this down in my remaining moments with you. In verse 10, he says that we are God's masterpiece. Now, I want to stop there. That means literally in the Greek language that we are God's work of art. Jeremiah said that we are the clay and he is the potter. We know that he took dirt and made Adam. And then he took a rib and made a woman. Thank God for a woman. All the men wanted to say amen too, but they were nervous right there. But it's true. Praise his holy name. Notice that we have this pattern. God's the creator. We're the creation. Not only did he create us in our mother's womb, Psalms 139, fashioned our days, but as we're born into the earth, we know that we are born into sin. All have sinned. And all fall short of the glory of God. As we navigate this fallen world, which, by the way, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, Satan is the god of this world. He's wreaking havoc. He's killing, destroying, plundering, hurting, trying to demolish people, trying to destroy people, causing division, chaos. All of that's from the devil. Because of that, you and I have been hit. We have shame. We have scars, some physical scars, but I would say all of us definitely emotional, mental scars, sexual scars. We have scars galore, and we're in need of healing. And what's amazing is that Jesus, after we're born, doesn't come along and look at us and say, well, you have these flaws, I'm going to pass you by. You made too many mistakes, I can't use you. You're not a good piece of art for me. I don't know, you're not a Picasso for me, so I'm going to pass on you. I'm going to move on to the next. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus takes all of us individually and begins to fashion us in his grace, for by grace we are saved, right? And he begins to take all the broken pieces that have happened to all of us, rich, poor. It doesn't matter our color. It doesn't matter our history. It doesn't matter our story. All of us, he takes broken pieces, and by his grace, he begins to put us back together. He shaped Adam and Eve, then he shaped us. But now that we are born, and now that we are born again, and we've received Jesus, he's refashioning us through all the hardship and the ache, and he's making us a masterpiece. And here's the beautiful thing. All of us have cracks. All of us have flaws. All of us have issues. All of us are imperfect. All of us have a story. And yet it's those things that make the masterpiece a masterpiece. It's those things that cause the light to shine through and be like a prism to show the multiple faceted nature of God in our life. But you and I are attacked in our mind and by society. You're too fat. You're too white. You're too black. You're too educated. You're too uneducated. You're on the wrong side of the tracks. You're on the right side of the tracks. You're in the country club. You're in the wrong club. You're in the gang. No one likes you. You should kill yourself. You're too this. You're too that. And God said, it's the very things that everyone else is maligning you and ignoring you is the very thing I take and I make it a masterpiece in the hand of Almighty God, because it's grace, 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 and grace. And while they don't like you because you're this or that, God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I've drawn you to me. Come on, receive this in your spirit. There's a God in heaven who loves you the way you are. He loves my bald head and my white skin. He loves everybody. And when he takes you in his hand of grace, he puts you back together again and makes you a masterpiece. This is why the devil always wants you and I, all of us have done it, looked in the mirror and out loud put ourselves down. All of us out loud have said, how stupid can you be? How dumb can you be? Why did you do that? Why do you think that? How could you do this? How could you do what your dad did? But God doesn't say that to you. God says, you're my son. God says, you're my daughter. I've loved you. I have been watching over you the whole time. Where you were shooting up, there was an angel standing by you, keeping you alive. When your mom left you, there was an angel in your room at night. When your daddy was high, there was an angel with you. When you thought there was nothing for you, I was leading you and guiding you. I saved you by grace, and now I'm making you a masterpiece. Come on, give this Jesus a great praise. This is why the enemy loves to come at you and I, and he loves to put shame. He loves to expose our scars. Look at your body. Look at your face. Look at your story. Look at this. Look at that. And he gets us to get all in ourselves of what we're not. And we miss out on what God says we are. And today the scripture says you are the masterpiece. This is why I would say this, that city, but any church, but here we call it the dream team, because when you find your, we're not trying to get something from you, we're trying to help God come through you. Because once you receive amazing grace, then you find your amazing purpose, then all the scars, all the cracks, all the things that other people, maybe you say are flaws, then have a purpose, because you're the masterpiece of God, in the hand of God, in the grace of God. And when you serve and when you do good, Jesus comes through you and you find purpose. This is so powerful. This is why I believe that Jesus, when he called the 12 disciples, one was stealing money out of the offering plate the whole time Jesus was preaching. The other one had a racial problem, Peter, and two more wanted to kill people because they didn't respond to Jesus, and another one didn't even believe Jesus half the time. These were not people we would choose. But Jesus chose them. We think of Peter and John and James and Thomas and Thaddeus and Bartholomew and Matthew. Oh, man, they're the apostles. No, man, these dudes were jacked up. Jesus said, I'm going to die. And the very next question, Peter says, no, actually, it was John's mother. Can my sons sit on your right and left hand and be in power with you? I would have said, woman, in my name, get thee behind me. I just told you I'm going to die. You're asking me about power for your sons. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? God chose people that couldn't do it without him. God chooses you and I to do things that we can't do without him. So the good things we do for Jesus reflect his grace. The good things we do, or I believe set us up, or it reflects God. Check this out. In the good things we do, it not only shows who God is, but it can also begin to show us who we are. Many times we come to Jesus and we're overwhelmed in the love of God. And then shadow of imperfection begins to hound us down. And we have these thoughts, that church isn't going to use me. We get worked up about serving in church and money in church, and we get worked up about hierarchy. We get worked up about titles. We get worked up about organizational stuff, and we want to, you know, pick at something, and we need to have financial accountability, and we do. And we need to have moderation. No, I mean, the church should not use anybody. That's wrong. But it happens. But it's wrong. A healthy church is trying to get God to come through you. But nevertheless, if someone messes up in a church or churches aren't going right, that doesn't mean that Jesus isn't going right. And that doesn't mean that his plan for our life isn't still the truth. And you and I have to separate at times the idea of what God wants for us and maybe an imperfect leader. But what we do is take the imperfect leader and tag him onto Jesus and say, I quit, I'm not giving money, I'm not serving, I'm out, I'm going to do my own thing, I'm going to, you know, but no, we're missing something. Hear me, in church, in person, and online, God has given you and I amazing grace to have an amazing purpose. And you don't have to serve on the dream team to have an amazing purpose. I'm just saying it's one way to find it. Out there, outside of church, I want to encourage everybody to simply do good. I'm going to say it again like I did last week. Do good. Because in my remaining moments with you, in closing, the amazing purpose of God combats our temptation to try to prove who we are. So many of us are insecure. I'm insecure. We're all insecure. We all have insecurities. And all of us are looking at other people and we're always thinking, I'm not them. And Jesus is like, no duh. I know. You're you. And we're like, yeah, but Jesus, they're 6'4" and chiseled. And I'm 6 foot and I don't know what this is. But I'm, you know. And ladies do it. We all do it. We're thinking about houses and cars and job status and relationship status and our kids. And it's just all the time. And we're trying to prove that we belong. But here's the amazing thing. I don't belong because of social media followers. Hear me right now. Everyone lean in. Please lean in. Take notes. Write this down. Everyone at home, lean in. Put the coffee down. Look at me in my eyeballs. Right now, please hear me. We don't belong because we're popular. We don't belong because a lot of people know us or don't know us. We don't belong because we're pretty or beautiful based on what America says. We belong because the grace of God has touched our life and we are a son and daughter of God. And that's going to take time to go from here to here, but it's true. And so when I reflect on the grace of God, I don't have to prove myself because God says I'm already good. But I'm good in his sight not to be better than you. I'm good in his sight to be better than myself and to make a difference in my lifetime. At times, too many Christians and churches cave into, I'm better than you. I have the right doctrine. I know more than you. I want to be over you. How dare these people? Blah, blah, blah. What did Jesus do, man? That's not Jesus. He never called us to be better than other people. He called us to be better than us, better than ourselves. Because if we're honest, our worst enemy is me. And it's overcoming ourselves. And then in the meantime, it's shining for Jesus. And again, how do we do that? We do the good things God has created for us long ago. So in the amazing purpose of God, he empowers me to do good things. The amazing grace is not for us to park it on a church bench, if you will, for the rest of our days and say, I just can't wait to go to heaven and get out of this old world. There's an old song that was sung, and I sometimes I feel like singing it, but I kind of like it. It's a silly one. I'm not going to sing it today, though. No, I'm not. I'm not. I listened to the playback. It sounded horrible. I'm not doing that again. Anyway, But it says, this world has been a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. I've never been this homesick before. It's a great old Southern gospel song. And I am homesick to see Jesus. I am homesick to go to heaven. I want to see him face to face. But at the same time, I can't want to get out of here so much that I miss doing the good things right in front of my face. And so many times it's easy for us. I want to get out of here and America and China and Republicans, Democrats. Stop. We're serving the King. And he's bigger than American politics. And he's stronger than international crisis or issues. And he wants you and I, through all of this, to keep our focus that I've received amazing grace. Thank you, Jesus. And now I can find amazing purpose, and I don't have to be famous. I don't have to be rich. I don't have to know a lot. I don't have to have this clean-cut life or a history. All I have to do is just find somewhere where I can show the work of art that God has done in me, and I can do big or small things and make a difference for eternity and see God do miracles through my life. How many believe in this today? I believe you can do it. You know, before I pray for you, I think about a young man that I met. He actually goes to one of my friend's churches. One of my friends who's a pastor goes to his church. He lost his wife because of addiction. Was so high at the, you know, apex of it all. Got into a physical altercation with his wife. Cops came, arrested him. His son was taken from him. And he ends up in jail, of course, detoxing and all that that is to the body. And he gets saved. And he receives the amazing grace of God. He's been sober for now for about 3 years. And when he got ready to do something and find his amazing purpose, what he found is, you know what? I can do a small group for addicts. Because I've been through it. Just think about how genius Jesus is. He doesn't call us to be rocket scientists. All we have to do is I receive the amazing grace, and really the amazing grace through my blunders, through my shortcomings, my issues, thank you, God, I'm saved. And then at some point, I turn, and the very grace I received for the issue I received, I can just give that simply away. And when I do, I can find my purpose. Men in his group are becoming sober. He's finding out who he is. Some of you have been through divorce, death, affairs. You've been through poverty. You've been through riches. You've been through this. You've been through that. And you would say, but PD, I am disqualified. And Jesus is saying you are qualified, because what he brought us out of is what he's trying to do through us for someone else. This is amazing grace for an amazing purpose. Please bow your heart and bow your head, both in person and online. And you would say today, Pastor Dave, I've never received Jesus in my life, ever. Or you would say, you know, I have received Jesus at some point, but I'm far from him and I need to come back to him today. This is the greatest step, greatest miracle, greatest decision any one of us could ever make. And you would say, that's me right now. I need to receive Jesus, and I need to come back and or come back to Jesus, because it's by grace that we are saved when we believe. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand to heaven right now. I want to pray for you to receive Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, give it up for these people. Thank you for trusting us to do this. I'm honored. As heads are bowed and hearts are bowed, just a little bit longer, you would say, you know, Pastor Dave, I'm struggling to believe that I'm a masterpiece because I see my flaws and I see what I'm not. But I know that I can because of Jesus, and I want to find my amazing purpose. I want to discover that the light can shine through the cracks and the flaws and God can be seen. I want God to use me. If that's you today and you want to take just one step, I don't know what that step is, dream team or outside in the community or something, but you can just do something good. Just begin to do something good. This is what the Bible's telling us over and over. This is how we shine. And you would say, I want to take a step. That's me. Go ahead and raise your hand. I want to pray for you all over this room. Thank you. Hands up all over. Thank you. Thank you so much. Follow me in this prayer and say out loud, Lord Jesus, I'm yours. I'm yours forever. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong in my life. I turn from that. I say yes to you. I'm yours forever. I give you me. Thank you for your amazing grace. And I choose to believe you have an amazing purpose for my life. I can do something that impacts eternity. Help me find it. Help me shine as a lamp and as a light bulb. In Jesus' name, amen.